119, right? And last week, we rocked 88 verses. I just about killed you. Oh, I'm so thankful that I didn't try to do the whole thing in one sitting, because you would have been dead for sure. So we've got a long way to slide. Psalm 119, just to remind you, a wisdom psalm. It's an acrostic. It uses the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet consecutively for each of the 22 sections of 8 verses. We're halfway through. We're on the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Lamed. And it begins in verse 89, which says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You established the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. The word of God is firmly established in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled." In heaven, the matter in heaven. Well, I'm not really sure. Do you think that this is true? You think this is right? That's not going on in heaven. The heavenly to his every command. Here on earth, oh, it's an entirely different situation, isn't it? There was a time in heaven, and we don't really know how it all shook out. But you know what? There was a time in heaven that God's word was questioned. His authority was questioned. Y'all know, right? Lucifer, the angel of light, he said, "I will exalt myself, I shall be like God." Whoa. And so because of that, he was cast out of heaven. And he has an eternal dwelling place in hell. That same drama is being played out here on the earth. People deciding whether they're going to let God be exalted or whether they're going to exalt themselves. In the Garden of Eden, the serpent challenged the veracity of God's word. Continues day after day. People are questioning the veracity, the truth of God's word. Did God really say? Did God really mean that? It's myths. Oh, it's a good moral code. It was written for people living in that time. But it's irrelevant to a modern society. They're questioning the truth of God's word, whether it's applicable today. The matter isn't settled. It's still being decided here on earth. And for some, and we all question God's word at some time in our life, at some point. And I hope y'all get to a point in your life that incident, that crisis, where the matter is just settled. It's no longer a question. I might not understand it fully, which I don't. I can't explain, well, why? But nonetheless, the matter is settled. It's settled in heaven, and it's settled in my heart. And I pray it's settled in your heart. That God's word is forever, and it's true, and it's the final authority. Settle the matter. It needs to be settled in your life. Without settling that matter, you can't see the faithfulness of God. You just can't. You'll miss out on what God's doing because you're always questioning. There's a lack of faith. Settle the matter, and he'll establish you. In verse 97, we go to Mem. And it says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Must be a teenager. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Look at how he loves God's word. I love it. I love your word, Lord. It's like honey in my mouth. It's sweet. It revives me. It refreshes me. It gives me wisdom. In verse 98, it gives understanding in 99. The word of God controls his life. It restrains his feet from every evil way in verse 101. And the psalmist understood this, that as he meditated upon God's word, he was learning from Almighty God himself. He was sitting at the feet, creator of all heaven and earth. I'm sitting and I am in communion with him. I'm speaking to him, and he's speaking to me through his word. He's given me instruction, and I'm there, and I'm receiving. That's why he understood, I want to teach you God's word as best as I can, but I'm just a substitute teacher, and you know how they are. My wife and I sing, which is the lowest bottom feeder on the planet, the substitute teacher or the substitute bus driver? It's me, the substitute bus driver. Look, I'm a substitute teacher and not very good. You want to sit at the feet of the Master. I hope that what I do is just encourage you to get into God's Word, to pray, to seek Him, to come to Him and say, yes, yeah, I want to receive instruction from you. This is what he said, but I want to get it from you. I want to get it direct. I want to cut out the middleman and go direct. He has more understanding than all his teachers. He understood more than the ancients. We get true wisdom and understanding right here from God's word. As we take time to to meditate upon it and let it penetrate into our heart. There's a lot of people that have a whole lot of head knowledge. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. Knowledge is good, and biblical knowledge is important. But what we really need to do is to get that head knowledge down to the heart, where we have head knowledge and heart knowledge, where God's Word is teaching us and giving us wisdom and understanding, and we're able to apply that. And it brings us right into verse 105, which is none. That's the Greek, the Hebrew letter here. You've heard this one. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Yeah, I couldn't get away from verse 109. It just grabbed a hold of me. Sometimes you're reading, you know, and you read a verse and it just grabs a hold. I know, look, 105 is our favorite here. This is, no, I got to go to 109. It's the one that grabbed me. We'll get to 105. Do you find that interesting? My life is continually in my hand. See, I would have expected the psalmist to say this: my life is continually in your hand, right? What, isn't that what you would have expected? But he says, my life is continually in my hand. And I started, what did I start to? I started meditating on God's word, right? Isn't that what we, I don't, Lord, this is interest. Oh, my life, yeah. Yeah, continually, day by day and moment by moment. How many choices did you make today? One or two? Five or 500? Someplace in there. We make a whole bunch of choices every day, don't we? We make decisions. We have the freedom. God has given us this incredible freedom, this liberty to choose. Choose. Day by day and moment by moment, we have this freedom. We're not constrained by God. You have to do this. We're given the freedom to choose my way, or will I choose His way? Will I choose to follow Him? Will I choose to place my life in His hand? My life is continually in my hand. I continually have the freedom to choose. Now for the psalmist, man, it is settled, is it not? The matter is settled. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. A dark place. No street lights. Oh, the only light you get is the light of the moon. When I was in Africa, whoa, it's like really dark at night. Really, really dark. There's no light. They shut down the generator. All the lights go off. There's no light. Now, I had a flashlight, and I could stick it. I could see where I'm going. On the path. But you know what they had? at the time of the psalmist, they just had a little clay pot. I wish I had one. I foolish me, I was in Jerusalem. They millions of them. They sell them to the tourists, a little clay pot that they put oil in, a little oil lamp. And that's what would light the path. You know, those little oil lamps, they're not going to shine very far down the path, are they? You can't take it and, well, let me see the end of my journey here. It's not like a mag light. Just going to show where you're going to put your foot. And then it's going to show you where you put your next foot. And your next, and your next, and your next. And isn't that how God's word is? We know what the end of the destination is. We're going to be with him. But the path we take and the steps that we take to get there, they're one step at a time, step by step, day by day. But we have God's word to illuminate. God's word to illuminate the path, to give us the direction in which we ought to go. When we know that, we can keep his righteous judgments. We walk through a darkened world. This world, do you know it's dark? It is very dark. And it's God's word that leads us through. Now, although you determine and settle it that you're going to follow the Lord, and although you have his word as a light and a lamp as you walk through the darkness, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be trouble there, right? Have y'all figured that out? The psalmist says, I've been afflicted very much. Not just a little trouble, but much trouble. And in the affliction, what do you do? Well, my life is continually in my hand. I have a choice to make. Will I seek the Lord? Will I trust him? Will I believe in him? Will I continue to praise him? Will I follow him? Will I take his testimony as a heritage, as something that I can hold on? Will I incline my heart to perform his statutes forever, to the very end? I have the choice. The choice is mine to make. The choice is yours. We go to Samech, the next letter in verse 113. He says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe. And I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. There's conflict. As we go through the psalm, the conflict just intensifies. When we get to the end of the psalm, oh man, it is heavy, heavy. The psalmist is surrounded by people who are not following God. He calls them double-minded. You know double-minded? Not double stuffed like Oreos. That's a good thing. Not double-double like In-N-Out burgers. That's a great thing. But double-minded, that's a bad thing. Undecided. uncommitted. Not really sure. Can't make up my mind. I got 1 foot in the Word and 1 foot in the world. Not a good place to be. He calls them evildoers, deceitful, those who stray. He says he hates it. Hates them. Hates sin. But he loves God's word. You know, sometimes it might feel like you're the only one following the Lord. You ever felt that way? Like at work? Are there no Christians here? We live in a Christian nation. Where are the Christians in this place? I'm the only one. In your family? That's tough. You get to pray at Thanksgiving, which is always cool. In fact, you always get to pray. I would love it. My mom would say, "Would you like to bless our food?" Do you ever do that when I'm not here? Yeah, that gives me a gauge of how long I have to go, you know. Let's see, it's been 3 years, okay. Sometimes it gets frustrating. Yeah, I hate all this wickedness, all this evil around me. People who are double-minded about the Lord that say one thing but act an entirely different way. What do you do? Well, you continue to love the Lord. You continue to love his word and hope in him. Continue to place your trust in him. I love this. He says in verse 116, "Uphold me according to your word that I may live. And do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up and I shall be safe." Do you see the picture? Help. We went to the beach. I love the beach. This is not the beach, okay? The beach has real waves. We all agree on that? Oh, it's biblical. A new doctrine. All beaches have waves. That's coastline. Sort of. I'm not sure what it is. All my kids, we've gone to real beaches when they were young. And invariably, each one of them have been knocked down by waves as little kids. Don't you love that? The little kids, the little ones, you know. They're there with their diaper and it's soaked and it's hanging down here and the wave comes and they get knocked down and they see the next one and they go, "Lift me up, save me. Pick me up before the wave comes, before it crashes upon me." Aren't we like that with the Lord? Just like little kids. A gracious Father, picking us up, holding us, protecting us. Oh, I love that. It doesn't matter what other people are doing all around you. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're the only one. I'm the only one here that's following the Lord. Yeah, he's going to pick you up. He's going to hold you. He's going to sustain you. We're tempted to succumb to the peer pressure, aren't we? Look, I was driving the bus, and I went and I sat down with them, and it was great for a few minutes, and then it got Well, it got sexual. And I was no longer comfortable. And, all right, I got to go now. But it's so easy to sit there. And, right? Yeah, because I'm uncomfortable leaving because I know that they're really going to laugh when I leave. Well, I go, I got to go. I can't stay here. And I want to be a part. Don't you want to be a part? Don't you want people to like you? Don't you want to fit in? You've got to go find another church. We like you. You fit in. You're the square peg in the round hole, and we've made you fit. We have this temptation to compromise, fearing the disapproval of man. But the psalmist says, my flesh trembles from the fear of you. Oh man, I'm more afraid of God than I am of what people will say. What's God going to say? I'm afraid of your judgments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap. Fear him. Verse 121. Ayin. Hey, I don't know how to pronounce these, so don't go around saying this like this is how you pronounce it, okay? Because I haven't got a clue. I'm just hooked on phonics. Ayin. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments. More than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Man, if you love the Lord, you ought to hate everything false, right? He's surrounded by oppressors, the proud. Those who have regarded God's law as void. Those who walk in a false way rather than following the way, the truth, and the life. Three times in this section, the psalmist declares this. I'm your servant. I belong to you. You take care of the things that you have, that you own, that belong. I belong to you. I'm yours. I'm your servant. In verse 122, he says, be surety for your servant for good. The word surety means collateral. It means a deposit as assurance, a guarantee of a future transaction being completed. If you become surety for another, you're the cosigner. You're responsible for that debt. Wow. He became surety for us. He left his throne to come to pay the price for our debt. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." In Greek, the word is tetelestai. They found this word on bills that stamped with clay stamps, seals, that a bill was written. There's a debt. There's money that's owed. And on the bill, they have stamped tetelestai. Finished. Paid in full. That's what he did on the cross. He became surety for us to pay the debt. It's very interesting, this word surety, because it's not only to pay that debt, the promise of that transaction being completed, but it's a promise of a future transaction. It's a guarantee. And Paul took hold of this idea of surety, this idea of guarantee of a future transaction when he wrote to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, he said, "God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." We have a surety that we belong to God. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee, the down payment of the future transaction to come. In Ephesians, he writes, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." He purchased us. He became surety. He paid our debt. We were bought with a price. Our lives are not our own. I'm his servant. I belong to him. And you know what? He belongs to me. I'm his. He's mine. The Lord is our surety for good. We have his word on it right here. Oh, I do know the next one. It's P. P-E. It's probably not P. It's probably pay. Pi, something else. I don't know. 129. How am I doing? Whoa. "Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law." The psalm, again, he loves God's word. He sees the beauty, the wonder, the awe of God's word in his life. He says, "Your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Direct my steps by your word." Aren't you glad it gives understanding to the simple? Really, God's word isn't difficult. It only becomes difficult when people try to make it difficult. No, it's much more complex than that. You really have to understand the Greek and the Hebrew. Has this been real difficult tonight? It's fairly straight up, isn't it? It just is what it is. It says what it says. It's written simply so that people could understand, people could hear from God clear and distinctly, without having to have a truckload full of degrees His word gives illumination, understanding, and direction. And the psalmist says, man, I pant for it. You see, animals pant. They're thirsty, trying to cool down. They had some water. Panting for God's word. Do you think of Psalm 41 as the deer pants for the water brooks? So pants my soul for you, oh God. When will I come to you? Oh, I love that. The section here, he cries out. He says, God, make your face shine upon your servant. God will hide his face from us with sin. His face will shine upon us as we're looking to him and following him. The section begins with wonder and awe, but look, it ends with woe. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. He's surrounded by unbelievers. They're oppressing him. That could be the cause of his tears. But when you live in a society where people are not following God, it is going to affect your life whether they're oppressing you or not. Do you understand that? How can a society expect God to bless them when they're not blessing God? I saw a sign. It was over there at Miss Piggy's over on Wool Market. Miss Piggy's used to have some pork chops. Are they still there? Are they? That was great when we used to be over there. Dane would come and take me to Miss Piggy's for lunch. We'd have pork chops. I'll ride my bike over there with you. If you're buying, I'm flying. Well, don't be tired. Don't be retired. There was a sign there at Miss Piggy's one day when I was going up the road. And the sign meant to say, God bless America. But the B had fallen off. Truth in advertising over there at Miss Piggy's. Godless America. Man, it breaks my heart. We're in 40 days for life. If you're on the getting the notices on the prayer chain, there's a calendar to sign up and to pray for an hour. That abortion ends in this nation. It's a terrible thing. It's sad. And when you're in a society where people are not following God, the worst part of the whole deal is that society is going to hell. There are people that are going to go to hell that you know. Because the matter isn't settled. And that sin. And man, we ought to cry when we see sin. It ought to hurt. Too often we become jaded to it. We become hardened. Our hearts get hardened to sin. It ought to break our hearts. You know, I've read that in heaven, that there's no more tears. You've read that, right? Do you think God cries? Do you think his heart breaks? The matter settled in heaven. All of creation serves him, all except man. Look, it breaks my heart when my children don't follow me, when they rebel. How does God feel? Verse 137, we go to Sadi. I got to go. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Again, he speaks of trouble, of anguish. His enemies have forgotten God's word. They're all around him. He's concerned about his enemies, obviously, right? But that's not where the focus is. They're there, but his focus is on the righteousness of God as revealed in his word. That's what he's looking at, is that God's word. All of this stuff is going on, but I'm looking to you. I'm looking to your word. You might not be able to control the actions of other people. Have you figured this out yet? I know you want to, and I want to even more. And I get frustrated all the time when I can't. But this is what I can control. I can control my response. I can control what it is that I do. I don't know what you're going to do. But the matter's settled with me. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love his word. I'm going to delight in his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love me. Love my word. Delight in it. Do it. 145. Hey, I don't have anything here. I got to look to see what 145 says. Oh, yeah, no wonder I didn't, because it's quaff. A quaff. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing, okay? I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. The psalmist is desperate here. He's getting urgent. He's getting down to the end of the alphabet. He knows how it goes. He's losing sleep because of his enemies. You ever lose sleep? Look at verse 147 and 48. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for you. I can't sleep. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night. Watch it. They won't go to shut. They just keep popping open. I'm awake at night that I may meditate on your word. The situations of life are troubling. I got a bunch of them. They make it difficult to rest. It's your mind, it's turning. You lose sleep, but just because there's a loss of sleep doesn't mean there's a loss of hope. The psalmist, he knows what to do. He can't sleep, so he prays. Is that what you do? That's what I do. I'm fretting. Oh, no, Lord, you know all about it. See, because you know what's going on here. I don't know what's going on. I can't do anything, but you can do something, Lord. That's how I pray, because that's real praying. Oh, Father, no, Lord, help. This is real. I'm in anguish. We're actually having a real conversation right now. We've put away the religious ritual. It's the cry of my heart. He can't sleep, so he prays. He cries for help. And he goes to God's word both day and night. And he meditates upon it to restore his hope. Great pattern for us when things are going wrong, going bad, when we can't sleep, when we're tossing and turning. Do these two things. Go to him. Go to his word. Go to him. Go to the Lord, cry out to him, pray. Early in the morning and late at night, when you can't sleep, seek him. And you'll probably be seeking him all the day. You'll probably actually be praying without ceasing, with urgency. I need an answer. I need you to do something. Oh, Lord. Go to his word, meditate on his promises, and do what he tells you to do. Do what he says from his word. We got to do these two things. We need to speak to him, and we need him to speak to us. Do those two things. 153. What do I have on 153? I have a resh. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Things are getting more urgent here. He's weary because of his afflictions, because of the treachery of his enemies. So he cries out, I'm tired. What I need is revival. I need to be refreshed. I need to be renewed. I need to be restored. What I need is revival. Three times in these eight verses, nine times overall in this psalm, he prays for revival. And it's God's word that he seeks to revive him. You're tired? You're weary? Get in God's word. Let it wash over you. Let it refresh you. It has power to renew you, to restore you, to revive you again and again and again. And after that, and still after that, and when you just can't take any more, it'll do it then. And when you're ready to give up, well, it's always too early to give up, and it will do it then. God's word. I do you love that commercial for, I think it's Nest Tea, take the Nest Tea plunge, where the guy falls back into the pool and splash. I mean, it's so refreshing looking. God's word. Take God's plunge. Get into his word. The entirety of his word is truth. From Genesis to Revelation. The entirety. Every book, every chapter, every verse, every jot, every tittle. It's all truth. It's not just true, but it's truth. It's the whole counsel of God. Verse 161, Shin. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. There's still trouble. There's still persecution. There's lying. But he's still standing. He's still rejoicing. He's still loving the Lord, loving the word of God. He hates the lying, but he loves the truth. Hey, the devil, he's a liar and a father of all lies. He's the father of all lies. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And all that love the truth ought to hate lies. Back at the psalmist's day, three times a day they would have times of prayer, morning and evening and at noon. But the psalmist, he says his focus is seven times a day I praise you. He's praying without ceasing. God's praise is continually upon his lips. In verse 165, he says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Look, peace comes when we pray, when we lay hold of God's promises. Well, when we read them, when we meditate on them, when we pray. In verse 166, he says, Lord, I hope for your salvation. This is our hope. The word, your salvation, once again, is Yeshua. Lord, I hope for Jesus. Tav is next. It says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for Yeshua, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Psalmist said he had gone astray like a lost sheep, but he knew he was God's servant. He belonged to him. And since he knew he belonged to the Lord, he knew the Lord would come for him. In 174, he says, I long for your salvation. O Lord, your salvation, Yeshua, Jesus. The Lord's salvation, we've looked to that. I think y'all are saved. I'm guessing you are. I hope you are. If you're not, you need to be. Salvation speaks of deliverance. It speaks of being rescued. And that's what the Lord did, didn't he? He rescued us from the pit of hell. We were on our way. We were going there. We were sinners. We didn't have a hope, didn't have a prayer. We cried out to him. We said, Jesus, forgive me. And he came and he forgave us. And he gave us forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And that's awesome. But you know, the Lord gives deliverance in a lot of other areas. And I don't want to neglect those others. And I don't want you to neglect them either. You might need salvation from the Lord tonight. Forgiveness of your sin and eternal life. But I think y'all have, I hope y'all have that. If not, pray. We'll pray. Ask the Lord for that. Health issues that you need to be rescued from, that you need salvation from. We're living in tough financial times. Maybe a job, maybe finances. Look, the Lord is our deliverer. He's our salvation. Whatever area it is, you might be having problems with the children, problems at home, husbands, wives. Whatever it is, we're going to pray. Let's seek the Lord as our salvation. Whatever issue you have, we'll just pray and I'll babble on a little bit, okay? But you pray. You seek the Lord. He's your deliverer. He's your hope. He's your salvation. He's the only one that can take care of the issues of life. He got his promises right here on it. Let's pray. Father, we come, and Lord God, we do thank you for your word. And oh, Lord, it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we thank you, God, for it. We thank you for the direction, the illumination, the wisdom, the understanding, the refreshment that it brings, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our salvation. We pray if there's any here who haven't surrendered their life to you, that they would tonight, that they'd just say, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Teach me your ways. Show me what you have in my life. Forgive me my sins. Give me eternal life. And Lord, the brothers and sisters here, I just lift them up to you, knowing that they have issues, they have concerns, they have problems, Lord. Except for Dane, he's retired. But he wants to sell his place, Lord. So we lift that up to you. He wants to spend time visiting his children. We lift that up to you. We lift up the health of the fellowship to you. A lot of folks coughing and sneezing and wheezing. Our sisters, Miss Eva and Miss Debbie, just been diagnosed with cancer. Miss Biola recovering. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless us. Father, we lift up our finances to you. Lord, those looking for jobs, we pray your grace, your blessing. There's brothers and sisters with decisions to make. The future. Things are a little cloudy, Lord. And we need instruction from you, so we come. There's brothers and sisters that are fussing at home, Lord. We pray, God, that you would heal the house, heal the home. There's children that aren't doing what they should be doing, Lord. God, give us wisdom, help us. Lord, you are our salvation, you are our hope. If it's one of these issues, if it's something else, I just pray that you just bless the brothers and sisters, that you touch their lives, that you would be with them, that they would find their hope in your word. And we thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Oh, we have faith, Lord. With faith and patience, they received the prize. Give us the patience we need, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen.